According to a state audit, overtime hours in Wisconsin prisons have jumped by more than 50% over the last 5 years. As Wisconsin's prison staffing shortage continues, the state is seeking ways to attract workers and keep them. We're going to talk about those initiatives and why some state workers are not happy about this situation. Do you work in a correctional institution in Wisconsin? What's your job? What do you like or dislike about your job? Have you had to work overtime? And how often? Maybe you once worked at a Wisconsin correctional institution. How long did you work there? Why did you leave? And what job did you take instead? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234, the number to call to join our conversation. Email address is ideas@WPR.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. John Eason is an associate professor of sociology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He is the author of Big House on the Prairie, Rise of the Rural Ghetto and Prison Proliferation. John, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me back.
So why are Wisconsin prisons facing a worker shortage?
That is actually a very good question. I think part of the issue is attracting workers, given the fact that Act 10 has destabilized the unions, and the conditions in prisons are increasingly unsafe for staff as well as for inmates.
Are workers in Wisconsin correctional institutions and facilities opting to work overtime, or do they really not have a choice?
I'd imagine they don't have a choice. I've heard on a program prior to this, several programs before, in Alabama, it feels like in states where they don't even have a history of unions, the workers were forced into work here because they're so short on staff, they have to cover those shifts. So part of the dangerous conditions in prisons are because the workers are working so many hours, and if you don't have any way to protect them from working too many hours, it also creates a dangerous condition for them.
And news reports are quoting people as saying they're working 12 and a half, 13-hour days in the state's correctional institutions and sometimes working up to 80 hours a week. That just seems really, really crazy. How did we get to this point?
I think this is following broader trends in employment overall. If you think about this, you can liken corrections officers to truck drivers in this sense, that if you work too many hours, the performance at your job, given it is safety related, is going to go way down. But all of us across the board are working more hours, especially in Wisconsin. We're being asked to do more with less, I think, is a model that, you know, has been influenced coming out of Southern culture. As Wisconsin deregulates more and more of its industries.
As I mentioned, some of these employees are working twice as much as normal. Colleagues say this causes fatigue and strains, also strains relationships with friends and family. And so they're making this overtime pay, but their family is paying a cost. What do we know about this?
Well, we know that studies are sort of mixed in terms of correctional officers and domestic violence, for instance. Some studies show that corrections officers have increased domestic violence. Others show that they don't necessarily, but it's a very thorny issue. I think that AFSCME, you know, even though the corrections officers have split from AFSCME, they're still trying to advocate on behalf of the corrections workers because the conditions are so bad, where guards are frequently being injured as well. So it's not only what's happening at home, it's also what's happening to them, and they're probably taking what's happened to them at work, whether it's an injury or just a horrible day, home with them. So that's going to affect their relationships at home as well.
John Eason is an associate professor of sociology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. There were more than 300 inmate assaults or attempted assaults of employees in each of the last 5 years. How much does this contribute to the high turnover rate and the difficulty of attracting new workers?
Well, a place that's violent because it's not safe is definitely no one wants to work in those conditions, right? That's a pretty easy reason to push people away. The turnover rate in southern prisons, where there's a much higher, there's a much lower standard of work conditions, contributes to that. Private prisons as well don't have as good a working condition, but you don't have that issue here in Wisconsin because there aren't as many private prisons, and you do still have this history of recent unionization. But that's why this is a social experiment where costs have increased and safety has decreased since Act 10. This is directly related to the labor market being deregulated, especially in an industry that's so reliant on safety. It's going to get even worse. It's sort of catastrophic. I come at this question from the prison abolitionist perspective. My work was informed by that, but I think even a prison abolitionist would have to say that if you want to decrease prisoners, if you want to decrease our over-reliance on prisons, the last thing you'd want to do is get rid of the corrections officers first.
John Eason is an associate professor of sociology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Our conversation continues in a moment. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. A recent state audit showed that overtime at Wisconsin's prisons jumped by 50% over the last 5 years. There are significant problems with recruitment and retention in the prison system, and we're talking about that with John Eason, Associate Professor of Sociology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He's the author of Big House on the Prairie, Rise of the Rural Ghetto, and Prison Proliferation. We want to hear from you. Do you work in a correctional institution in Wisconsin? What's your job? What do you like or dislike about it? Have you had to work overtime and how often? Did you work at a Wisconsin correctional institution in the past? How long did you work there and why did you leave? What job did you take instead? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. John Eason, you described yourself just a moment ago as a prison abolitionist. What does that mean?
That means someone who wants to reduce our over-reliance on mass incarceration in the U.S. Basically, we have too many people that are incarcerated. There's over 2.2 million people incarcerated. And actually, we have about 450,000 correction officers in the U.S.
Governor Evers' budget calls for spending an additional $23.8 million to implement a pay progression system for guards, sergeants, and psychiatrists who work for the DOC and the State Department of Health Services. This month, he gave temporary raises of up to $5 an hour to workers at six prisons. Is that enough to make a real difference?
I think that's a move in the right direction, given that the turnover rate for guards grew from 18% to 26%, according to that same report you referenced earlier. And the vacancy rate for all security positions increased from 7% to 14%. But your producer just gave me a great insight during the during the break, it's created a condition that can be akin to a tinderbox, because the prison, the adult inmate population grew from just under 22,000 to just to 23,600 from 2011 to 2018 during that same period. So you have an increase in people in prison and a decrease in people taking care of them. That is a tinderbox. So that's mm-hmm. why people don't want to work there.
The Department of Corrections is attempting to retain workers through training academies at the six institutions that have temporary pay increases. Guard applicants work alongside guards, and some of the prisons are holding job fairs. Are those also steps in the right direction?
Those are steps in the right direction. But again, this is – so Governor Evers is this is such a complicated issue because Governor Evers, on one hand, is trying to reduce our over-reliance on mass incarceration. He wouldn't necessarily call himself a prison abolitionist, right? But we're in an era where we're overall across the country, even conservative, fiscally conservative Republicans are trying to reduce our over-reliance on mass incarceration. But if you over-invest in attracting new guards, you're going to strengthen people who don't want to lose their job, right? So if we try and reduce the number of people in prison, that's going to directly affect the people wanting to keep their jobs. So this is very complicated.
We have a caller, Jamal, in Onalaska. Jamal, good morning. Welcome to the morning show.
Good morning.
Yes, go ahead.
So, I am not a prison guard, but I'm a county guard. And we have a few guys that actually leave the prison to come to the county. And the number one reason they always say is pay and overtime. But the thing I think is a little weird is county is not that much different than prison for overtime-wise. Do you have any ideas of how to retain people? I've been there at my place for almost a year, and I think we've been close to 13 officers through, in and out. So just looking for your input, I guess.
Okay, so county jails looking at some of the same problems that our state prison system is. John Eason?
Yeah, this speaks to everyone having multiple jobs. You know, there was a joke recently told by a congressman that unemployment's so low because everyone has multiple jobs, right? But we really have an issue. The unemployment figures, that's a whole other argument once you start to actually count the prison population, which could be counted in unemployment. But to his point, everyone is working more than 40 hours a week, right? Everyone's working. If you're employed, you have a job and a half or two. So everyone, we've seen that wages have been flat or gone down the last 30 or 40 years. So most people are working more hours to compensate for the rising cost of living.
Some employees in Wisconsin's prison system putting in twice as many hours as a typical American worker. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel recently wrote that a Dodge Correctional Institution sergeant made more than $180,000 in 2018, $112,000 of that coming from overtime. What does working all those extra hours create a higher burnout rate for these positions?
It certainly would. Prison, we need to just face this from the beginning of this conversation. Prisons are not nice places, right? And we've made them less hospitable since 1970. So it's not only inhospitable for people who live there, people who are incarcerated, it's less hospitable for people who are taking care of them. So if you have to see what's going on in terms of the human suffering in prison every day, it's going to affect you psychologically and increase the likelihood of you leaving that position.
State workers can boost their pensions by putting in long hours as they near retirement. Do we see this happening with prison workers as well?
I'd imagine so. I don't see why they wouldn't do that. It only makes sense. There's a number of people trying to get out of even being a police officer earlier. We have nearly a million police officers across the country. And these aren't even the most dangerous jobs. The conditions are just not the best conditions, right? Who wants to see what's happening in prison? You know, I was recently at a church event, and I was talking with people about part of their civic duty or church duty is to go and visit people in prison. And churches aren't even they're not going to see members in prison as much because it's a tough task. It's a tall tale to go into a prison.
The Department of Corrections Secretary Kevin Carr said in a letter to auditors that unless the agency can get control of vacancies, things probably won't change. What should correctional facilities be doing to attract and keep workers?
I think that the push to get more workers, I think Governor Evers has done the right thing to get more workers. The retention rate is, I think, the bigger issue. And there's things that that workers did prior to Act 10 to be able to make it a respectable, not just a job. It's become a job instead of a profession. The standards were better in terms of hours, in terms of conditions, in terms of demands for safety. And if you can't, if you don't have leverage to bargain for those things for basic safety, that's why we're seeing increased violence in these facilities. If they want to really retain workers, they're going to have to really change the conditions of employment.
So, well, we're about out of time here. So what I'll do is I'll thank you very much for joining us, John Eason. I really appreciate your time this morning.
John, as always, it's been a pleasure. Thank you guys for having me.
John Eason is an associate professor of sociology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He's also the author of the book Big House on the Prairie, Rise of the Rural Ghetto and Prison Proliferation. This is The Morning Show. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. Kate will be back tomorrow. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.